So have you ever been in a discussion with someone about the things that you believe? Raise your hand if you've had a things I believe discussion. Have you ever been in the discussion where the person you were discussing with believed drastically different than how you believed? And yeah, that always goes great, doesn't it? And you know, one of the things that a part of our core beliefs that we believe in a discussion and debate that is consistent with biblical teaching. And so we've been in Bayside Basics Back to the Basics the last couple of weeks. And today I'm going to talk about evangelism. Because I don't know if you've ever shared your faith with someone and they just totally rejected it. Has anyone ever had that experience? I've had that experience where people just looked at me and said, oh, that's crazy thinking, crazy thoughts, and they just rejected it. Or have you ever just been somewhere, maybe in school or in a course or a class or something you were taking, or maybe in just some training, where someone was leading and they just trampled all over the things you believe in? Anybody ever had that example? I can remember when I was in my bachelor's work, one of my professors was the gentleman who headed up Jimmy Carter's campaign, re-election campaign. And man, he was a liberal's liberal. And it was so hard for me to sit there. But I had learned in academia, you just sit there and keep your mouth shut, right? Because it's just hard. But I didn't, because y'all know me, I just can't sit there and keep my mouth shut, right? And so that was the only C I made in college, was in his class. And but you know what? It was a part of it, and I shared my beliefs, and we exposed some of their beliefs, and it worked out all right. And I learned better for it, because I did learn to be more quiet in college. And because C's were not good at that time, so I don't like C's. But I want to tell you this morning. It's no more difficult today to share your belief than it was in the early church. When Jesus left the disciples and ascended into heaven, and he sent the disciples out, I'm going to tell you that it's no more difficult today to share your faith than it was in that moment in time. Because that was a revolution. That was something totally different. People had no idea, excuse me, and they were sent out to go against the law, to go against the priests, to go against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers, to go against everything that had ever been taught and known. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it's no more difficult to share your faith than it was in that moment in time. Because we don't stone people in the streets anymore. We may do it verbally, but we don't do the things that were happening in that day and age. And so one of the things that we believe in here at Bayside Church is evangelizing the world. And sometimes that may lead to disagreement. And that's why we have to know our beliefs. So there was a man and woman, and they went for a drive in the mountains one afternoon, and as they were driving, the gas light came on. Anybody ever had this moment happen? Yeah, I've had that happen too. And the wife points out to the husband, hey, look, we're going into the mountains, and you know, like, we're still on the edge of the city. There's lots of gas stations. We get up there, there's not very many gas stations. And the husband says, it'll be all right, and just kept driving. Anybody ever, ladies, you ever had that happen? Husbands, you ever had that happen? Yeah. She kept suggesting, hey, maybe we should turn around and go back and get gas. It could be a long way. So finally they pulled up, and there's this little bitty country store, and there's an old antique pump. And the guy's like, oh, this is great. So he goes inside. He was so excited when he found out that the pump worked. And he went out and he filled up his car. And he went back in to pay. And there was this gentleman there that was obviously from the area. And the man was feeling good about being right and his wife being wrong. And he says to the gentleman there, he says, it sure is good to be alive, isn't it? And the man looks at him and says, I can't say I ain't ever been any other way. Just think about that for a moment. I can't say I ain't ever been any other way. And I use this lead-in this morning because how many of you remember what it was like before you were a believer? Raise your hand this morning. How many of you can go back to that time, man, that you were lost and you knew you were lost? And you had not experienced the grace and the goodness and the just incredible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Many of us can remember that because we have been another way. Man, if you've always been in church and were raised in church and were always a believer and you believed in an early age, man, what a great testimony. But also there's many other people that remember what it was like to be lost and remember what it was like to be outside of God's grace. And they understood what it meant to be another way. So this morning, man, we want to take refuge in knowing that God has filled us and God has redeemed us and to live this life, and it's another way. And that's our goal this morning, and that's our job as believers, is to tell the world about this way of life that we live. That's our job as Christians, to influence other people with the gospel, the good news that Jesus will save you from the life of sin that you're living. So if you have your scriptures or your Bible, this one I'm going to bounce around this morning. Excuse me. And I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10. It says, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Listen, the Bible tells us, picture perfect this morning, that God has set eternity in the heart of man. And the question is today is, where will you spend eternity? The question is, where will your family and your friends and your acquaintances, your children, where will they spend eternity? And if we're not busy about evangelism and we're not busy about evangelizing the world, listen, people are going to spend eternity out of God's presence. Out of God's presence. You know, when I was growing up, it was hellfire and brimstone. Who has that? Who has that? You know what I'm talking about? Hellfire, brimstone. Look it up. Give it to your parents later. They'll tell you what brimstone is. All right? And it was preached, man, that you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell. And listen, you know, I used to think about the weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I was like, oh, man, that'd be awesome. Or awesome. Awful. That'd be awful. I need help this morning. That'd be awful. But as I've gotten older, listen, that's not the most thing that I would say that will be the most awful part. The most awful part to me this morning would be in out of God's presence. The weeping and gnashing of teeth, the loneliness, all that, the burning, all that's not the worst part of it. To me, the worst part of it is to know that I would never be able to experience the presence of God. That's going to be the worst part of it. Eternity without the presence of God. See, the world offers all kinds of experiences this morning. And there's parts of the world that testify to God's glory. Where are my travelers at? How many like to travel? Anybody ever stood at the Great Divide? A few people? Man, if you've ever stood at the top of those mountains and you've looked out over the Great Divide, the last time I was there, we rode snowmobiles up and we stopped and we're looking out and it was a warm day. It was about 53 degrees and the clouds had rolled back and you're looking at the peaks of the Rocky Mountains and it looks like you could just take one more step right into heaven. And if you don't believe that somewhere God had some handiwork in that, I just don't even know what to say. It's that amazing. It's that overwhelming. It's almost like a outer body experience to stand there and look at that. If you've been to the islands and you stood on the shores and looked over the turquoise water and just looked, and there's so many other places, things that you see that are just absolutely amazing. To not believe that there's experiences out there that testify to the goodness and the favor of God. It would be hard to say that. But even those things will never satisfy the desires of our soul this morning. You know, one of the things about we learned this week is if you're hungry, guess what you can do? You can eat, right? If you're hungry, you can eat. And we, even though in our city is in a desperate state still, there's still places to go. You can wheel in some fast food and grab something. If you're thirsty, you can wheel into the nearest store and grab something that will quench that thirst. If you're tired, you can even grab something that will help you not feel so tired, right? If you desire companionship, all you got to do is log into your computer, make something up, put it out there to the world. You'll have all kinds of friends in their make-believe lives too, talking to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Tinder, all right? I'm just talking about Facebook and Instagram and all the things that we put out there, how perfect lives are. We know that's not really how perfect lives are. It's just a picture. Most of the time it's edited. If we desire companionship, you can find companionship. If you desire adventure, man, the world's full of adventure. Just hang out with us for a little while. We love adventurous stuff. But listen, there's only one source this morning that can satisfy the longing, that vacuum deep inside of us, and that's the presence of God. That's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and only the Creator can do that. Go with me to Romans 10 this morning, 1 through 15. It says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I could testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know righteousness of God and sought to establish on their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes about this righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend into deep. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they that call on one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Wow. If you haven't studied that passage, write this one down and look at it this week. So what does it mean to spread the good news of Jesus Christ? What is evangelism? What are all these big words? And what does that mean? And how does that apply to our daily lives? We're going to try to tackle that this morning. Because here, one of our core beliefs is that we're busy spreading the news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. So evangelism is a term we use, and it comes from this Greek word for the gospel. And I believe this is how you pronounce it, euangelion. And it means literally gospeling. Anybody ever went caroling? Where you sing carols? All right. Anybody ever went gospeling? Where you share the gospel? Okay, a couple people, right? It's the same thing. It's just that we don't see that, right? We don't get up in a big group and go, hey, let's go gospeling tonight. Anybody open? Let's go gospeling. Let's do it. Now we do it at Christmas. Anybody ever have people show up at their door gospeling away? No, but you've had them show up at your door singing, right? So it's just kind of the same idea. I know you're thinking, dude, he's lost his mind. If I open my door and they're gospeling, I'm closing that door as fast as I can, heading right back to ESPN, right? Or whatever you watch. But when we evangelize, effectively, we are gospeling. We are sharing the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want you to think back from the time you were here last week or wherever you were this time last week. Have you gospeled anyone? What was your week like? Did you share the gospel? Did you share the good news of Jesus Christ? Did you have a moment to influence anybody with the news of the gospel? What kind of witness were you this week? I'm going to tell you, Monday and Tuesday was rough for Ivan. I don't know about anybody else. It was rough. I was hangry, right? I felt like I had a nail right there, like someone had hit the nail gun and it was halfway in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was rough. And that parent that despises me and that I prayed for the Lord to help me with is always going to show up on that day. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Or that boss or the corporate guy or the someone that just pushes our buttons. You know what I'm talking about? They're going to show up on that day when we're in that weak flesh moment. And we really need to be able to share the gospel. But we're still struggling because we're so hungry. All we can think about is God's chicken, right? You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to be a good witness in those moments. But that's why we fast and pray. And that's why we live a life that's disciplined. So that we can be ready in those moments. Evangelism is one way that we can fulfill Christ's call to be his witnesses. So let me help you understand something this morning. That passage says how beautiful are the feet that comes to the gospel. And the one right before it says they can't do this unless they're sent. Listen, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been sent. You've been sent. You've been identified to go and tell others about the good news of Christ Jesus and what he's done in your life and what he's doing. So we're to share witness of what we've seen. Has anybody ever witnessed a crime? Anybody ever witnessed a crime? Couple people. Anybody ever witnessed some type of accident, like an industrial accident or anything like that? Or maybe a car wreck. Probably a bunch of us have witnessed car wrecks. And so what happens when you're a witness? Well, I keep driving. I don't know what y'all do, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't do that. Not unless it's going to take very long. But, you know, if you've ever been a witness to an accident, you get out and you wait for the highway patrol or the law enforcement people, and then they take your name and all your information, and they're like, can you tell me what happened, sir? You know, they're all serious. They got the big round hat on, you know, with the dark sunglasses. Sir, can you tell me what happened? And it amazes me sometimes the witnesses that show up on the news. Am I the only one that's surprised by the people that they interview? Am I the only one? Because I'm like, I was there and nobody asked me a question with a camera. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that guy though, wow. Anybody remember a couple years ago, the guy with the coon hat with no shirt on? Anybody remember that? Yeah, right here at Bay County, Bay County's finest. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he was one of my former students. It was wild. It's obvious I did not influence him, all right? But you tell him what happened. You're like, sir, this car over here done turned that corner, you know, doing this and that. And you're telling him all the stuff that happened and where you were in relation to the moment and what was going down. You're a witness to what happened. And crime's the same way. You may have seen something happened or you had some information. See, it's the same way with spreading the gospel. You're a witness to what happened in your own life, first and foremost. Then you're a witness to how the gospel has changed your family. Then you're a witness to how the gospel has changed your children. Then you're a witness to how God continues to pour out his spirit upon us. And you tell them, hey, this is what happened when I prayed and God met this need. He even knew the need was there before I even prayed. And he already had it worked out. And man, it was amazing how God took care of all this stuff. And when I look back, how it fell into order and fell into order and fell into order because God already had it worked out and took care of. We're a witness to the things of God. You tell people what has happened. You tell people what God is doing, what God has done, and what God is going to do. Listen to Acts 1, 6 through 11. It says, they gathered around him, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses, everybody say witnesses, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. See, witnessing involves making visible what is otherwise invisible. See, one of the things that people can't argue about in your life is your own experience with God. Unless you're telling someone something that's unbiblical. We can't argue with you about your experience. You can't be argued about your conversion, how you come to know Christ. I remember the first time, I've shared this before, when, man, I'd sat in church all my life, and the first time I got up and walked down the aisle, my intention was to get to the bathroom because I felt so convicted. Has anybody ever used that tactic? You just get up and go get some water? You know what I'm talking about? Thank you for the honest. Thank you, Sean, for the rest of you. Wow. No conviction. But I remember sitting there, man, and like, I knew the Lord was speaking to me, and I'm like, I got to get out of here, man. I got to get out of this place. And I used to get up, go to the bathroom, and I'd walk around until the feeling would subside. So I just didn't feel like I needed to go down there anymore. But it was something about that night. I remember getting up, and I was going to the bathroom, and the next thing I know, I was walking towards the altar, and I kneeled down, and I began to pray for forgiveness. And I needed forgiveness. And apparently everyone around me knew that I needed forgiveness too, because they all flocked down and were praying for me for forgiveness. Right? But it was awesome. And I remember that day as a marker in my life that God began to work on me. Now, that wasn't the end. Today's not the end. He's still working. Listen, he's chiseling away. He's working on me, and I hope he's doing the same with you. But witnessing is making visible what is otherwise invisible as we share our belief in Jesus Christ. We witness through our behavior. So I want to ask you, how did you witness through your behavior this week? How did you witness through the influence that you had this week? How did you treat people around you this week? And I'm going to use this, and I know I wear it out, but this bothered me the other day. Many of you know our oldest daughter works at Smitty's. And we ran into the owners the other night, and we were just talking, and we were asking them, hey, are you going to add time and all the stuff, because we love to go there on Sundays. And she said, no, I don't think we're going to open back up on Sundays. And we were talking about it, and I said, why? And this is what she said, and it killed me. She said, because people treat their server so bad, and then they don't tip, and it's just a long day for everybody. Who goes to Smitty's on Sundays? Primarily. Right? Man, I just want to grab my own head and bang it against the wall and go, what is wrong with us? As believers, what is wrong with us that we would go into a restaurant when everybody knows we just walked out of church? When everybody knows And that's how we treat people. Man, I know Bayside Church, if you've been around here, you know we have a soft spot for that because, listen, that's a moment to influence somebody. Most of you have been going to the same restaurants and the same places for years and years and years, and you may not know their name, but more than likely they know your name. And if we're not being the best example, the bearing witness to Jesus Christ, what are we saying to these people who are unbelievers? Because not everybody who works there is a Christian. And what they begin to think in their minds is, why would I want to be a Christian? Man, if you knew how they act on Sundays, how they shake their glasses and how they're so demanding, how they wear us out, and then they leave us a dollar on a $50 bill. Man, what does that say about who we are as believers and our generosity? And I know we've hammered that home here, but I want to ratchet up a notch because even in this, there's a friend, or not a friend, there's a couple that comes in and they're believers and everybody knows, and they set a timer down on the table and they time for the moment that they take their order. What does that say about us as Christians if that's our behavior? Listen, I challenge you to learn that server's name. I challenge you to ask how their day's going. I challenge you to go above and beyond in a tip. I challenge you to say, hey, man, I hope the next week you could go to church. Oh, I don't go to church. Well, hey, the next Sunday you're off, I'd love for you to come with me. How hard is that? But we first have to bear witness in our behavior because no one's going to listen to someone who's cut someone off in their behavior. If we're constantly demanding stuff, that's a perfect moment to build a relationship in order to influence someone. Many of you swing through drive-thrus every morning. It's the same people. Man, what kind of influence do you have over them? They know your name because when you pay for your with your card, your name's on it, right? They know who you are. I've been to one so many times, they call me Mr. Beach when I pull up to the drive-thru. They're like, Mr. Beach, how's it going? Good, how's it going with you? And when we try to build rapport, ask them how they're doing. I ran into a lady a couple weeks ago. Her child transferred up to Bozeman, and she had been a waitress or working at Dunkin' Donuts in Lynn Haven for years. And I asked her, oh, I haven't seen you forever. How's it going? And she remembered me, called me by name. Listen, it matters. They're people too. And if we can't even do the little things like that, what makes us believe that we're going to be able to sit down and really have a theological conversation with someone if we can't even sit at a table and act like we're believers? And I know it's not y'all, so I'm just preaching this morning to the choir. I get it. But sometimes we have to correct those things as well. We have to correct it. So how did you love this week? How did you influence this week? Listen, we reveal to the world Jesus Christ through our love. We reveal to the world not just through our behavior, but through our love. Listen to John 13. Most of you probably know this by heart. 34 and 35. A new command I give you. What did it say? Love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone. So we get the first part, love one another. But 35 says, by this, everyone will know you're my disciples. Everyone will know who you are and what you're about through your love. Through your love. If you love one another. So think about this week. Man, who'd you share love with? Who did you influence? Who'd you make a difference in this week? By loving people. Who'd you wrap your arms around? Who'd you tolerate versus who you loved? That's a legitimate question, right? Who'd you tolerate versus who you shared love with? And how did you love? Listen, in preaching the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you do it any other way than in love, it's not going to be effective. Because Jesus loved people. Jesus impacted people by the way that he loved. And here's the distinction this morning between witnessing and evangelism. Listen, you're a witness by the things you do. You're an evangelist when you share the gospel of the good news. When you tell someone about the gospel, what it means to be a believer, what it means to preach the gospel. And I go, hey, well, Ivan, that's what you and Adam and the worship team and the youth minister, that's what y'all's job. Well, no. Remember, we just established a minute ago that you were called to be a believer and then you were sent to share the gospel. It doesn't mean that you have to identify as a preacher, but it means that we believe in the important work of sharing the gospel. And listen, giving your testimony is fantastic. And that's a great place to start. But at some point, we have to look people directly in the face and say, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If they say no, say, man, let me share with you what the gospel says about becoming a believer. Many of you in this room have probably never done that. And that's okay. because God's going to stretch you and grow you between now and the end of the year. He's going to give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to invest in people. But that's one of the things that we have to be doing. We have to be looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Listen, living righteous life, that's important. Super important. Living right is super important. The power of the Holy Spirit, equally important, amazingly important. We need it. But we've not evangelized our neighbor until we've actually had a conversation about the gospel. Many of you probably lived in the same spot like I have for years and years and years. Have you ever stood at the fence and asked that neighbor about what they believe? Have you ever invited them over for coffee? Say, hey, why don't you come over and have coffee and let's just talk about this? Because I want to share this with you this morning. No one is converted by our kindness or honesty. That's going to rub against the grain this morning. Listen, no one is converted to be a believer in Jesus Christ just because you were nice to them. People are only converted when the Spirit draws them and we're there in the moment to share the gospel and to be there to help walk them through the process. That's how people are converted. Because people like you and I take the time to share the gospel. We share what God has done in our lives, then we tell them what God will do, then we speak the truth of the gospel into them. We got to seek opportunities this morning. Declaring the gospel is a job for all of us. So I want to ask you as I'm wrapping things up this morning, how many non-Christians do you know? Just think about that for a minute. How many non-Christians do you know? Years ago, I heard a minister share this story. I think I've shared it here once. There was a gentleman that was the greatest guy. He would work on cars. He would repair fences. He could repair appliances. And his wife was an intercessory prayer warrior in the local church. And every time the doors were open, she was in the church. But her husband never stepped through the doors of the church, ever. But he was a good man. Everybody thought about what a good man he was. If you needed anything, he would come. He would help. He was a good man. His wife in the church every time the doors opened. Him, never, but was always one to help. Well, when he passed, near next to the church was a church cemetery, and people wanted to have him buried in the church cemetery. And the church rule was, you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to be buried in the church cemetery. And so they ended up burying him right outside the fence of the church cemetery because everyone thought he was such a good man. And after one weekend, the pastor came into the church and he was walking up to the church and he looked up and the fence had been moved to include the person. Some of you have heard the story. The fence had been moved to include his grave inside the church cemetery. And while that's a great story about being inclusive, it's not a great story when it comes to the gospel. Because being good won't get you included into the fold of eternity. Being good won't cut it. The scripture says that we have to have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and put our belief and our trust and made him the Lord of our lives. And being good, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm a good person. I've never done that. I'm a good person. Listen, we know you're a good person, but you're also lost unless you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So this week I'm going to ask you, how many non-Christians do you know? How many non-Christians do you know this week? Can you make a difference in their lives? Can you make it a point this week to find out? Are they a believer or are they not a believer? Hey, what kind of conversation can I have with them at the water cooler this week? What kind of conversation can I have with them during lunch this week? How can I start that conversation? Look for opportunities for God to give you the ability to speak the gospel to at least one person this week who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen.